Blog Talk Radio.
You are now entering the Ultimate Entrepreneur Experience, the I Am Unique podcast. We talk about business, lifestyle, fitness, health, and mindset. Everything that surrounds you being a successful business owner. Hosted by George Truly, Unique Wright, your DIY business coach. Teaching you about marketing and lifestyle. Let's get ready to make this money. Thank you for joining my podcast, and I appreciate you being here. Please like and share this podcast with everybody around.
Hello, everybody on Clubhouse that is coming in. Understand I'm probably not monitoring my screen. So anybody who wants to come in, this is listen only until I bring you guys up. If I have any questions that I want to talk to you about, then I'll add you into the conversation. But otherwise, this is a listening room until the podcast is over. So this is a podcast room for my Clubhouse people. I am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach. We're streaming live on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, and many, many more platforms out there. So I am super duper happy that you guys are here with me. So tonight we're going to be talking about planning your business, how to plan your business, what are proper things you should do in planning your business, and what would you, this structure. So we're going to go by how you should structure your business when you're first starting, a couple of things that you're going to need. The next part we're going to go into is about marketing and branding your business, what things you need to market and brand your business. Then the next part will be marketing. All right. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. Hello? All right. So we're going to have a special guest come on, Janice Coleman, and we're going to be talking to her about what she does to plan her business, who she is and what she does, and a whole bunch of other things in that realm. So she'll be coming on in a few minutes, and we will be talking to her. So again, I am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach. You're listening to the I Am Unique podcast. It is now streaming live on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk, and Clubhouse. All right, guys. So let's have a discussion, because a lot of you guys do not understand how to plan your business. If you're getting some feedback, let me know if you're hearing the feedback, because I know I can hear some in my broadcast. But I don't know if you guys can hear it. So if you're hearing the feedback, let me know so that I can try to. I need an equalizer, I think. The software I use have made some changes to their software, and it has now changed the way things sound. So this is the cool part. Let's talk. How do you plan your business? What are you going to do to plan your business? What kind of business do you have? Like, those are the things that we're talking about in this planning structure. And it's more or less teaching you, like, how you should lay your business out, fundamentally. So I tell everybody when they're starting their business, know what you're going to do. Know what you're going to brand. Now, your business name does not have to technically be branded behind what you're doing, but you need to incorporate or create an LLC for a business that you plan to do. So that's one of the big things that I always put out there for people who are building your business and building your brand. So that's number one. Number two is make sure you have a business bank account. Make sure you have at least purchased a domain for that website. Make sure that you are doing the things that get more information in your business. So these are the things that you do to brand your business, to actually set your business up. So make sure you have an LLC or a corporation. Make sure you have a business account. Make sure you have a domain name, a professional email. So that's the basis of branding your business. Like, that's the foundation. That's your whole structure. A business address, if you don't want people to know where you live. Like, that's your basis, right? Then we're going to get into your brand. Like, your business name can have many entities underneath it. So let's talk about your brand. What are you selling? Who's your target market? How are you going to market to these people? What platforms are you going to be on? What do you want your look to be? What are your colors? Like, that is your branding, right? So we're going to go into how to brand that. Like, do you need a logo? Your logo always should look good in a black and white platform. Your logo should be simple. People should know what you do. People do not have to know what you do by your logo. Like, so if you're a cleaning company, you don't have to have a cleaning person in here. If you write books, you don't have to have a book on your logo. It just might need to say author or book writer or whatever, if that is what you're basing your business around. But FedEx does not have a delivery truck on their logo. Walmart does not have grocery bags on their logo. Sprint does not have a phone on their logo. T-Mobile doesn't either. AT&T does not have a telephone on their logo. So why do people think that they need to put these things on their logo? You just need something that represents your brand. So that would be branding. So then the third part about this is marketing. And this is where I get deep dived into, and this is my specialty and my passion, is marketing. How do you market your business? Who are you going to market it to? What are you going to tell your customers when you are marketing their business? So those are the things that I like to, those are the things that we're going to go over tonight and have a deep dive conversation in there. So in this few minutes before Janice comes on, calls into the questions, these are 10 questions that I really want you to understand about your business. So, and we're going to go over these 10 questions with Janice so she can explain her perspective of it and why she does the things that she do in her business, and how she can help people in their business, and how she can help them in other aspects of her business. So number one, how is your product or service different from your competitors? Like, that's one of the main things that you need to know about your business, is how is your product or service different from your competitors, right? What makes you different? What is your marketing dominating position in your marketing? Like, that is huge, right? So, like, the 10 questions, when you're starting your business, when you're figuring out what you're going to do, when you want to market your business, like, number one, how are you different from your competitors? Like, if you can't tell me how you're different than your competitors, then why are you going into business? McDonald's will tell you how they're different from Burger King. Burger King will tell you how they're different Jimmy John's or what's the other burger place? Five Guys. And then on and on and on. There's so many burger places out there, right? But they're all serving freaking burgers. You know, how many barbecue places are out there? How many other fast food restaurants? But what makes everyone different? Some people like Burger King. Some people like McDonald's. Some people like Dairy Queen. Some people like different aspects of it. So these are the things that we're going to have a conversation about in your business. I need to give her a call back. Okay, so the next question is, what marketing materials do you have to promote your business? Or what marketing materials are you going to need to promote your business? Are you going to need business cards, flyers? Like, a lot of this stuff nowadays is irrelevant. is really irrelevant. You do not need to have business cards. You don't need to have flyers. You know, you have make everything digitized. Digitize everything. One, you're keeping everybody clean and sanitized because you don't have your hands in all over the places. Number two, people don't like paper anymore. People don't want to carry it around. People don't care. Now, if you have a storefront, that may be a little different. If you have a restaurant, you need a menu, okay? But you can digitize all of that. But to make some people, I still think that when I go to a restaurant, I want a paper menu. I'm just old school like that. But anything else, if I'm marketing or networking around the world, these are the things that I don't care. Like, I'm going to a networking event. I have my Hi Hello app on my phone. I tell you to scan my phone. You don't have to touch my phone. I don't have to touch your phone. Think about the germs, people. Okay, then the next thing is what mediums do you use and how much do you spend on these things? So what different things are you going to use? So now we just talked about marketing materials. And you need, so my biggest thing, let's, instead of buying flyers, let's spend your money on your email campaign. Instead of buying folders and everything else, digitize everything and spend money more on your graphic design and making sure everything's digital. And if somebody wants to print it out, let them use their own ink and their own printer to print them out. Okay? Would you describe these marketing materials as effective in targeting your core market mediums? So when I'm talking about, let's go back to the mediums thing, like social media, email blast, Facebook, how are you getting out there to your customers? So are they going to be effective to your core people? Different types of people are on Instagram than they're on Facebook, than they're on TikTok. So who are you really trying to capture and where are you trying to go with them? My people are usually on Instagram. These are the 25 now to about 55 years old. They're on Instagram. Now, from 35 to like 75, they're on Facebook, you know, and then from 25 to zero, they're on TikTok. That's kind of the average market majority of the people who are on those platforms because of the attention spans and everything. Now, then we got Clubhouse, right? That's a whole different brand. Like, I think it has rooms for every single body. Haven't seen teenagers on here yet, but hey, I might not know who I'm talking to. So make sure they're effective. Do you have a website? Does your business have a website? And if it doesn't, why doesn't it have a website? A website is so easy to build and compel, get people to get it, and it is like your storefront. So those are the things you have need to have. Like, then we're going to go into, like, client database. Like, do you have a database or are you building your database? And when you build your database, what are you planning to do with it? All right. Number, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. What is the most profitable aspect of your business? Wow. So now, when you are building out your business and planning out your business, what is the most profitable aspect of your business? Is it the item that you're selling? Is it your customer service? Is it your books? What is the most profitable part? Okay? So what is the average sales value per transaction? Most people don't know this. Most people don't know this, especially if you're in a service-based building. How much does it cost you real time to do that service? Now, if you're in a service-based industry, then you know that it costs, I want to be paid $20 an hour. So if I talk to you right now, if I talk to you for an hour on this podcast, that's about $20 out of my pocket. The production time to put everything together, that may cost me $75, $85. The email marketing blast that goes out cost me about $1.50 a day. So these are the things that go out that we need to know, right? What is the average cost, the average gross profit per transaction? Woo! Now that is a tongue tire, right? Most people don't even know what a freaking gross profit is. Like, so how are you going to come up with the average of a gross profit? So that one might be a little bit out your league. So, you know, I'm going to break it down for you. So gross profit is the money you make before you actually purchase anything or before you spend money on your objective. So if you bought clothing and you have a clothing line or you have a service-based business and you made $100, that's $100. You made $100. Now that is my gross profit. Now if it costs you $50 to do the broadcast, $10 for the engineer, $40 for this, $50 for that, then now your gross profit is $10. Your net is $10. So that's the difference between gross and net. So when you are doing a transaction, y'all really need to know what that is. Like, what is a gross profit? Please understand what a profit is, what a gross profit, and what is your average gross profit. So the average gross profit would be if your average sales range from 10 to 20, your average sales would fall right in the middle at 15. So that would be your average gross profit would be 15K if you made between 10 and 20. So that would be your average. Now we can go into that. That's a whole other conversation we can go into. But that was one of the questions on things that most people do not know about their business and how you can plan for that and understand how you can make that work for you. How many inquiries do you get per day, per month, per week? Now, everybody should have a goal for this. Like, I don't care what business you're in, service business, product-based business. How many people are coming to your website? How many people are inquiring about what you're doing? How many people are asking you questions? You need to make sure to get people to start inquiring about your business. I go on Clubhouse every single day to tell people about my business. My goal now is to get about 10 people today to sign up for my free program, my I Am Unique Right Marketing free access. So I want 10 people a day. 10 people a day, the average sales would be, I'll at least get one of them to be a part of the platform. So like that is per day. So if I get 10 people a day, the average people that I would get to actually be a part of the platform is one per day that would actually save. So that is the ratio. You usually get 1% of how many people are coming onto your platform, 1%. So imagine if you want 100 people to come on your platform a day, you need to find 10,000 people to be in front of. If you're only going to be in front of 5 people, then you need to, then you probably only get maybe a half a person. You might get one person, but if 5 people is your number, that you're only getting in front of 5 people a day. So think of those numbers away. So these 10 questions are a way to maximize your financial impact of your business and how to plan your business and things you need to talk about when you are building your business. Now I'm going to bring Janice on. Let me see if she is actually available. When she has time, she can come on, call the number that I sent her. I know she's listening to me on Clubhouse. But I'm trying to see if my software is going to work right. If not, I can bring her on through the Clubhouse app. But the goal will be to bring her on the actual, radio. So Janice, give us a call, and we'll call her in. All right, she is here. All right, let's see if this works tonight for me. All right, Janice, how are you?
I am amazing. How are you?
I am doing good. Now, let's see how well this works for us tonight. I have been getting crazy feedback, and it's been annoying.
You sound a little like you're in a tunnel, but you're clear.
I know. That's my problem right now, and I don't know how to fix it.
All right, well, we're going to work on that one of these days real soon, right?
Yeah, I'm changing platforms.
But you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. I am like, wow. I'm listening to you, and I'm like, this is amazing.
Thank you. I am, what was I about to say? I am changing platforms in next month. I'm not using this platform anymore, so I'm going to change platforms,
okay.
And then hopefully that will help.
Okay.
But tonight's the night. This is the last time I'll be on it. So it is what it is, and we're just going to make this work unless it gets terrible. There's no feedback tonight, which is awesome. So, I spoke too soon. All right, let me see.
And you're doing multiple platforms at one time, so that in and of itself is a Herculean feat. So congratulations on making that all happen.
And I'm not even in a studio. Like, this is in my bedroom, technically.
Okay, so that was probably TMI.
I know. But nobody knows. But, yeah, this is the first time I've been.
Yeah, everybody knows. Like, all
now,
20,000 of your followers now know that.
Oh, well, they'll be all right.
All right,
Janice, tell everybody who you are and what your business is, and how do you plan? You're a planner, right?
I am. You know, I used to be in the midst of planning, and planning and planning and executing was the Achilles heel. So there can be a whole lot of planning sometimes, but action cures everything. So sometimes you have to have a balance of the planning and the action. But that'll come after I say who I am, right? So I'm Janice Coleman. I'm here in South Jersey, and I am by trade an executive coach, a career coach, a speaker. I'm also an author and a business consultant, in that I work with some businesses. I don't do a lot of business consulting at this juncture, but I have worked with businesses to help them to improve their profit margins. So that is also a part of what I do, but that's not necessarily my strong suit. And so I'm a coach, a career coach, trainer, speaker, author.
Awesome. So with that being said, like, when you're going, like, I believe that your career and your business are about the same, per se, in branding and planning for it, because I'm volunteering for the National Black MBA Association this week.
Okay.
And we've been talking with different executives and whatever, and how to plan out even your strategy on getting a job. Now, I'm not, my people know that I'm not job advocate. I'm not pro-job, so it is what it is. But she still has a business. It still has to plan out things that she does for her business and to get those customers to plan out their careers, right?
Yes. Yes.
So,
let me say this, Unique. Having a job is not a four-letter word, but some people will have that, have a job. Some people will balance a side gig and a job, and some people will be full-time entrepreneurial business owners. So, and I actually had the opportunity to speak for the Black MBAs probably about 7 years ago or so. So they are definitely an amazing association.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, yes, everybody has their own balance. Everybody has their own security level. Some people need nightlight. Some people don't need blankets. Some people sleep when it's jet black dark. You know what I mean? Some people need a TV on.
Mm-hmm,
I can't. I'm not judging. I'm just saying I'm not pro-job.
let me say, a lot. I think that there are a lot of individuals who probably really could start a business. Yet there are some characteristics of business owners and qualities that are necessary. That sometimes being in an employee space, you don't necessarily have to cultivate those qualities. And so therefore there's that gap
And if somebody does, and I have some clients who have moved from being an employee to being a business owner, and what we work on are those qualities that they're going to need in order to be successful as a business owner versus an employee, because there's the two different types of skill sets. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yes. Because you, to be a business owner, you just got to be a little bit crazy.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And
yeah,
and you can be an employee and be a little bit crazy. You're just doing it on somebody else's dime.
Right. Exactly. So that's one of the funny parts about being a business owner versus so. Can you tell us what some of those qualities are that you go over? I mean, you don't have to tell them what you do with the people, but what are some of those qualities that you think are different?
You know,
so we can bounce off each other.
Okay. So I think that first of all, there has to be long-term vision. Long-term vision, and there has to be a higher level of autonomy because you have to be able to see, I would say visionaries and leaders have to be able to see around the corner versus just down the street. You know, if you're a high-level employee, a director, or a vice president, you may only have to see down the street for your company. But when you are the CEO, the CFO, any C-suite, you have to be able to see around the corner. You know, like you ever watch the movie? We're sitting in the movie theater or at home watching the movie, and the camera gives us view of what's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But the person in the movie can only see down the street.
Right.
And we're sitting there going, don't go there. Don't go down that street because. And see, that's what the CEO, CFO, COO, they have to be able to take and synergize the intel that they get from the industry. And they have to be able to now project that down the street and around the corner. To be, you know, they have to be many, many steps ahead. And that's different than for an employee who is only responsible for themselves and maybe a small team, but they're not responsible for the total outcome and the bottom line. So they don't necessarily have to give thought to that. But as a business owner, you now have to give thought to that. You have to think, what is this year going to look like and what is next year going to look like and what is it going to look like 5 years from now? So that's why I say vision. And then I say autonomy and proactiveness, because now no longer is anyone telling you what to do.
Right.
And now that expectation, you know, of those Monday morning planning meetings and those follow-up, you know, reviews and performance reviews and all of those strategy meetings that you used to sit in, now you are at the head of the table. And you've got to get it in motion with or without other people telling you or showing that they expect it. So you have to be autonomous and proactive. Those are another set of qualities. You've got to be, I want to use the word relentless, which incorporates perseverance and sort of being like a Timex watch, because you got to take a licking and keep on ticking, right? Because it gets lonely sometimes. As an independent business owner, it might get lonely, and things happen, and you've got to answer to those. And you can't go take coffee break as easily as a business owner as you can when you are a an employee. Those are two different mindsets. Everything rests on you now. Everything. The buck stops right with you.
Right. That is so true, because that's exactly, if I don't do any work, then I don't get anything done.
Right. Right.
And if I don't sit up here and figure out how these echoes working, then I don't, then everybody gets annoyed by it, right? Or hopefully I'm the only one who hears it.
You know, I think you'd be fine. I think you're fine. We'll just move forward. It's just
right.
It's just a uniqueness of this broadcast right now. It's the uniqueness, and we just keep it moving.
And yeah, funny part was I'm now trying to get people get my what you call that thing. I dropped the phone to the broadcast from what do you call this thing? Clubhouse dropped, but it's okay. I just want to make sure
mm-hmm.
it's on so the people on here can hear me and talk to me for the ones who are not part of my broadcast normally. So, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
let's get back to the subject topic. So those are great topics. Those are great things. I got distracted. I'm sorry. ADD. Business owners have ADD. You know what I mean? And I the funny part is I've never been an employee. And why I say that is because, like, I used to go into people's companies and be like, this is wrong, this is wrong, why do you do things like this, this is stupid, da-da-da-da, and tell the management part of them about that. And then they're like, well, this is how the company's been doing it for the last 40 years, and, you know, this is the right way to do it because we're a $1 million company. And I'm like, just because you were able to make $1 million and not everybody knows who you are, so it really doesn't matter, doesn't mean what you're doing is right. And I bet you if you listen to me, I could save you some money so that you could maybe a $1 billion company, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like
mm-hmm.
they don't like people like me.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Because,
and go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, because that's one of the main things that, like, they don't really, they're like, nah, dude, we're going to keep it like this, and this is what we know. Because I'm not talking to the right people, of course. I'm talking to other people
mm-hmm.
that are employees that are on the bottom of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even make a difference who I'm talking to, because I'm not, until I get to the CEO, it's like, why does that make sense? I mean,
mm-hmm.
so it's irrelevant. But the CEO is not the one firing me. It's the person who, the manager who manages, who's 10 people above, below the CEO, is the one who's like, hey, yeah, you talk too much. You say too much. You're too innovative. Let you go. Like, the
mm-hmm.
last job I was at, I got fired because I was too efficient. They
mm-hmm.
told me I did the job too fast. I was like, huh? Isn't that a good thing? That means, like, huh? So that kind of blew me. So that was the last job I had, and after that I was just like, well, I'll be efficient for myself. So that's where I'm at. So what are some other differences and different things that you think that entrepreneurs versus a business owner need to know about entrepreneur versus an employee? Like when you're in that transition.
Okay.
What are some other things you should put out?
An employee, an entrepreneur or business owner has to have a high or higher tolerance for risk.
Right.
An employee, the risk is shouldered by the corporation or by the business owner. But when you are the business owner, you take all the risk. So the question you have to know what your level of risk is. And so if your level of risk is high, you may be willing to put it all on the line And, of course, you want to go in with your established business plan and answer those 10 questions that you mentioned before I came on and have answers to those 10 questions. But still, at the end of the day, if you are the business owner and your name is on everything, right, including corporation papers and all that stuff, your name is on everything, you're risking it all. So you have to gauge the level of risk that you're willing to take, and that really is determined by the type of business that you're in and how much, you know, how much you are vested, not invested, but how much you are vested with regard to your own personal resources or your, you know, your business resources if you properly leverage your business credit versus putting your personal credit in the situation, which you should do. If you're in business, all of the lines of credit, all of the credit cards, all of that stuff should be in your business name with your EIN attached to it versus your SSN attached to it. So, but nonetheless, regardless to whether it's the EIN or the SSN attached to it, there is a level of risk with regard to resources. So that's determined by the type of business that you develop, the structure you develop, whether or not you are a solopreneur or you actually build an infrastructure where you have employees and all of that, which there's some level of safety to that versus being a solopreneur, because I think you mentioned if you don't do it, it won't get done. But if you have employees, somebody's going to do it, you know. So there are levels of safety with all of those. So you have to determine what kind of risk are you willing to manage and how can you configure this business entity to match what you're willing to actually shoulder. So the risk is different for an employee versus an employer or business owner.
Right. That is very true, because as an employee, there is no risk. You quit.
Right.
I mean, you may not make any money, but the business still stands and everything still goes and flows as it normally did. But now if you are a business owner, if you quit, then the job is gone. It's over. It's done. Like, unless somebody buys you out, like, then that's really, then you just got bought out. You know, you sold your business. Now you're not a business owner. So there's a whole different section, but then that's a whole nother conversation, because your business has to be structured properly for somebody to even think about buying your business. I'm not going to buy, I know exactly how your business is structured, but like if I did an evaluation on your business right now, what would I win if I took you out of the equation, because you are the main person in the equation of your business, right? Like, you do all the training, you teach everybody, you don't have a platform and none of that, right, per se?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about me personally?
Yes.
Or the individual? So if a business is what we would call, and I was just had this conversation a little while ago with regard to Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, and you know, if you are in that solopreneur or what they use the term entrepreneur quadrant, the lower left-hand quadrant, the business rises and falls on your capacity to deliver. Your capacity. You may have a 1099 contractor here or there, but the business generally rises and falls on your ability to deliver, which is a very risky place to be. Unless you have all of the appropriate things in place, like certain types of insurances and, you know, different revenue generating things around you to kind of safeguard you, but nonetheless, you are the rise and fall of that business, that can tend to be very risky. So, you know, it is higher of a risk than if you're a business entity where you have employees and people who are actually delivering the work.
Right.
If it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that is a big aspect of it, because people don't understand that. And some people don't even understand the whole ideology of being a business. Like, they're just like, oh, I like to do this, and I want to make money doing it, and now I'm a business. No, that doesn't technically make you a business. That just makes you somebody who sells stuff.
Right.
And
if
you watch Shark Tank or whatever, you've seen this happen, and they're like, well, you created this as a hobby. Now you enjoy doing this. And they're like, well, I make $3 million on it. And it's like, yeah, but it's still a hobby because you have no infrastructure. I can't walk into it and take you out of the equation, because if I take you out of the equation, there is no equation. It's like 1 plus 1 equals
exactly.
2. So if I take the 1 out, I only have 1. I need 2.
So we have to really look at it. I mean, there's such a wealth of information, and the information that we can get to really kind of build something around us that can be an asset. You can sell an asset. But if you have a business entity or a business structure whereby, like you said, I take you out of the equation and it's kaput, that's not an asset.
Right.
Because an asset should be generating money and increasing in value whether you put your hand to it or not.
And the cool part about it is that – Let's put it like this. Even if you are a one-person operation, I'm not going to knock that level of business, because you still can have asset ability. You could own the property that the business is on. You could have a database. You can have a platform, a transferable platform, that just because you're not the voice or the face of it does not mean that platform can't go on. Like right now.
Right.
I have a couple people that work with me, but technically I'm the brand, right? But if I built my database up and got about, let's say, 100,000 people buying my subscriptions using my platform, then at the same time that could be sold, because even if I remove, I could train that person how to be me or how to sell the software, and then I can then I could sell a business, and it's only a single person business. So I don't want to discredit that whole ideology.
Oh, no.
And I'm
not discrediting it, because I'm still in that space, and I'm painfully aware that I need to move over.
Right.
I want to. I don't know if I need to per se. But I want to, so I'm painfully aware of that. So that's why, you know, I keep that in my head. It's like, you know, I'm just painfully aware of that.
But that's one of the things.
So
Go ahead. But that's one of those things that you really have to, like, evaluate where you're at in your business. Because no matter what industry you are, you hairstylist, barber, you're selling your product, your coaching service. Like, a lot of these services now have platforms, have education, so documentation, have databases. So my big thing now is collecting people's information. I want your information, and then now I can establish communication with you for you to buy. So I'm going to give you a whole bunch of free stuff to get your information. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once I get your information, now you are my customer. I can do whatever I want with you. know what I mean? I mean, not that you're going to do whatever I want, but I can do, I can be like, hey, look at this. Hey, look at that. Hey, look at this. Or look at what I'm about to launch. Or if I decide to change momentum, those are the things that I can actually put in place as well in your business. So those are the things that I really try to implement and talk to people about and address those situations with people when they're planning out their business. So it's kind of interesting, the concept. So give us a little bit more about what you do and how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, what I do, I'm presently promoting an event that's coming up on Saturday, and it's a webinar, and basically it is, the title is How to Stabilize Your Career in an Unstable Marketplace. And in the career coaching and executive coaching space, what I do is to help individuals to find satisfaction in the marketplace, finding jobs that they love, finding the job that loves them, which is a possible thing. We don't have to have, you know, rainy days and Mondays and over the hump Wednesday and thank God it's Friday and living for the weekend. You know, people have squeezed out so much pleasure that we only have one day of the week, which is the day that we try to squeeze everything in that's fun. And the other six are days that we're either, you know, scoffing at work or crying about work or dragging ourselves to work, you know. And so my career triage program is geared toward helping people to be in a space of enjoying the employment or the business world that they have decided to be in. Because if we're spending a lot of time getting ready for work, going to work, being at work, driving from work, and thinking about work, then we need to enjoy work just a little bit more. So, you know, so that's what I do in the career space. I'm also a professional speaker, so I do, my topic is leadership. And in the space of leadership, a lot of stuff falls in there, you know, communication skills, emotional intelligence, team building, personnel management. So a lot of subtopics fall into the leadership space. And, you know, if I were to say anything, I'll have to echo or, you know, co-sign, as if he needs me to co-sign it, but I'll have to echo and or co-sign John Maxwell, who is the GOAT when it comes to leadership. He is definitely the greatest of all time with all of the earthly greatest of all times on the earthly realm that has put together such a body of work around leadership. And he would say everything rises and falls on leadership. And whether you are a leader of one or you're a leader of thousands, your ability to lead, which is communicate and assimilate and relate and all those things, your ability to do that and influence, your ability to do that will determine the success of your business, of the people in your business, of your brand, and all of that. So leadership is such a very important aspect of the work that I do. And the people that I have the opportunity to work with. So if I were to say anything in a nutshell, is that I help people to be successful by finding out what it is they're designed to do and helping them to do it to the best of their ability.
That is pretty awesome because that is a trivial point in being a business owner. What do you like to do, and what do you really like to do? I had a call the other day with a girl, and I was like, I want to be a business owner. I'm like, what do you want to do? She's like, repair credit. Mm-hmm. Why? And I was like, why? She's like, well, because I think it could help my people. I'm like, okay, and why? That's not going to hold you on repairing credit. Do you know how to repair credit? Do you know what the pros and cons behind repairing credit is and all of that? And I was, she's like, no, but I hear these people talking about it all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, that doesn't mean that's what you should do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, maybe you should get an affiliate marketing program for credit repair because I don't think you're ready to repair credit. So then she was just like, well, what about this? Or what is it but notary? Because she thought she was going down my thing. It's like she was trying to follow me, which is wonderful. And I was just like, well, this is what a notary is. Oh, how easy is that? It's easy to be a notary. You still got to do the job. You still got to go find your customers. Just because you can get a notary stamp does not mean the money falls into your pocket. It just doesn't.
Right.
I have one.
Right.
It's like a website. Right. You still got to get people to come to you. So it's amazing that some people want to be an entrepreneur but really have a business owner mindset. And that is where they mess up at. And nobody, when you're a business owner, nobody tells you what to do. You do what you want to do. I said, what do you want to do? I don't know. And so I was like, okay, I got something for you. Since you want to be an employee, but you want to have the freedom of the business owner lifestyle.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do for you. Here's my affiliate link. You get people to buy from this link, and you, I'll pay you. Okay.
Right.
So what do I
do?
I was like, okay, I'm going to send you a script. I'm going to tell you these are the people you can call, and then you tell them to click the link, and we'll go from there. That's all you got to do.
Right.
Okay, you can do that.
And and see, that's why I said one of the characteristics or qualities of between an employee and a business owner is that level of autonomy and that level of being proactive, that level of, you know, going out there and hustling. And that is key. You've got to have that sense of drive that is above and beyond like the average Joe when you are a business owner, because it really does rise and fall on your ability to make something happen, whether it is you as a solopreneur or it's you as a person who's leading, you know, a team of employees. Either way, if you don't cut the mustard, you don't get to eat. You know, if you don't work, you don't get paid. If you're in that kind of situation, all of these qualities have to come into play in order to survive, in order to thrive, and in order to be successful. So, and there's a lot of that hustle. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's exactly true. So you have to position you have to think past go. That's a business owner. We deleted the GPS and we're figuring out how to get to this location, and then we say, okay, I'm gonna go this way, but now I'm gonna make this turn because I know it's a shortcut. And then I'm going to make this turn because there's traffic here. Like, that's a business owner. Employee is more or less like, okay, GPS told me to turn left. And it will take you go around the block 10 times. You drive around the block 10 times and then stop and then back up and turn left. And the business owner, it's like, why are we doing this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. That's like an analogy to kind of put it together for people to understand, like, which person are you? Do you listen to your GPS? This is a way to dictate if you're a business owner or if you're not. Because do you follow
Let me tell you, I battle with obeying the GPS. I just do. I don't know if anybody else who's listening battles the GPS, but I really, really do. And you know, that you say that really just makes me laugh at myself, because I have lost nearly every battle with the GPS, I'm going to tell you. But I try my best. I try my best to let the GPS know. Now, mind you, this GPS is a very highly sophisticated, you know, piece of equipment. And it's triangulating off of 9 satellites,
yeah.
The Earth being one of them. 8 satellites plus the Earth is triangulating off of all of that, and it has all this science behind it. And here you have Janice with one fairly brilliant brain, but it's just one. And I'm going to tell the GPS which way I should go. I'm just saying. That just is funny to me.
I do the same thing. So I can't even argue with you. I'm like, nope, that's stupid. I think we should go this way. And sometimes I win and sometimes I lose. That's the fun part about it, because I'm like, well, this is a shortcut. I don't know if it took me longer to get there, because I don't care.
Right.
I just know that I'm going
right.
the way I want
but
to
you're
go.
But you're going to make that GPS wrong. You're going to make it wrong because you have to make it wrong, because that's just how it is. You know,
We just said that's not the way I want to go.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, so as a, and see, that's the risk. That's the risk that an individual has to take if they're going to be that business owner versus the employee, which is, you know, and the employee, I think, you know, really, the employee has a different type of risk. Because of where the marketplace is, and that's why I have my webinar, you know, stabilize your career in an unstable marketplace, because especially since 2008, 2009, with the crash of the, you know, financial world and all those things that happened, people were in situations that were not of their own doing, but they lost a lot. And that's a risk that,
right.
You know, I put myself happily, and there's nothing wrong with, look, commerce makes the world go round. So you have to have business owners, you have to have employees. So we just, you know, make that a level playing field, because it makes the world go round, okay? But there was, during that time, the risk, we didn't even know, because I was an employee, you know, for a long time, and we were risking it all, betting on people who, a lot of whom we never even met. We were betting on the fact that they were doing the right things and making the right choices and you know, seeing for us when we couldn't see for ourselves. That's a risk too. That's
right.
A big risk too. So the question becomes, you know, what risk are we really willing to take? Am I willing to bet on me and garner the skills and qualities that I need and put myself through sometimes almost like being rebirthed, because I have to learn so much to be this person who can be in the marketplace and, you know, do the marketing and do the production and do the, you know, customer service and do the finances and do all of that stuff. That takes a lot. Or am I going to risk hoping and expecting that somebody else is going to do the marketing, do the, you know? So either way, we're risking. The question becomes, where do we want to place the risk, as the person who's in the forefront of it or the person who's supporting the person who's in the forefront of it? Either way, there is a level of risk.
There's a level of risk in everything, and that's the same ideology. But Janice, I want to move. Are you willing to continue to talk about this so we can bring some Clubhouse people in, or would you like to keep it on this, or do you have to go?
No, I have some time. I had expected at least an hour, and I'm surprised. It seemed like longer, but it's just 10:06 here.
Yeah. So come on to the Clubhouse platform, and we'll set it down to these interfaces so that we can bring some of the people into the Clubhouse room. I had to create a new room. That would be, it's because I think they're saying that the sound is low because you're not in there. But I think this conversation will be great for it. And we'll have interaction. All right? Get both of us some clients.
Okay, great.
Yay, baby.
Okay.
So, everybody, let me do a little bit on this. Everybody, this was Janice Coleman. If you tell us where your Instagram and your website so people can find you on social media.
Okay. Instagram IG handle is Janice M. Coleman. I made it easy. Janice M. Coleman. And my website is janicecoleman.com. I'm real straightforward. And there you will find the ability to actually schedule a 30-minute free consultation. Right now my website is in redesign. So what you will see when you go there is access to a 30-minute free consultation with regard to career and goal setting. So please take advantage of that if you are in need of getting ready for the fourth quarter and getting ready for 2023, which is right around the corner.
Man, don't curse at me like that.
I know, right?
I don't like the way you're talking to me right now, Janice. It's not appealing.
You just feel some kind of way. It just is what it is, right?
Man, I'm not ready. I'm just trying to. I'm just getting comfortable in 2022. Like,
you gotta let it go. You can't. Man. Don't be frozen. You gotta let it go.
I want to take a nap. Can I take a nap till the rest of the day is over?
No, not yet. Just let's finish this out. Let's do another 20 minutes, and then you can take a nap. All right, we're going over to Clubhouse now.
Yeah, come over to Clubhouse.
Okay.
So this is Ivy McBride, your DIY business coach. We appreciate having Janice on this call. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please like, share, reshare, and everything. So we're still going to be live on Clubhouse. I'm going to see if I can stay live on Instagram and YouTube, but I wanted to.